Some of you may also know me as Dr. V, or Vias' dad, or Patrice's dad. Dear Federationists, as a parent, I can attest that many systemic challenges still exist in the current education system of blind and visually impaired children. I will start with several illustrative anecdotes. When we started our Braille journey 13 years ago, Braille books for very young children were virtually non-existent. Thus, we bought some popular storybooks from the children's section of our local bookstore, and my wife, Rasa, started adding Braille to them. When we had questions, we turned to our first VI teacher, but it quickly became clear that our teacher was not proficient enough to reliably answer even relatively simple questions about Braille contractions. Later, as we started to ask VI professionals inquiring questions such as, how does a blind person do this or that, there was too often this telling pause before they tried to answer the question. We were shocked to eventually realize that the reason TVIs and OMN instructors weren't sure was because they either didn't know or socially interact to any significant degree with successful independent blind adults. A few years ago, I attended an O&M lecture geared towards professionals on grade-level appropriate O&M instruction. At one point, an O&M instructor in the audience voiced her perspective. That if her students didn't learn the concepts on her watch, it was okay. Because as she put it, there's always rehab. Based on the discussion that followed, it was clear that many other professionals held that same viewpoint, rather than accepting the responsibility from teaching from a paradigm of equal and age-appropriate expectations. A few months ago, a colleague in my field contacted me for some advice. After extensive evaluation, their 10-year-old was diagnosed with visual field defects. He can see the beginning and end of longer words, but not the middle portion. He is bright and has been able to fill in the literal blanks based on context, but his desire to read books, his reading fluency and comprehension have dropped slowly over the last few years. Having seen how well my boys are doing, the parents wondered about Braille as a possible solution. Their son was very excited about the proposal, and within 4 weeks, with minimal formal instruction, his fingers were reading at 40 to 50 words per minute. I wish that were the punchline, but it is not. The school district then requested a formal assessment from one of the regional schools for the blind. The instructor performing the assessment essentially stated, "We use large print for all kids with visual impairments because kids who have vision don't need Braille. Braille is not as fast." When our son transitioned from the preschool to the elementary school system, our TVI at the time informed us that we were too involved and that we would have to back off and let the educational system take over. Statistics at the time show that nationally, only 45% of blind or severely visually impaired children, but otherwise capable students, graduated from high school, and only 16% of those went on to earn a college degree. Ladies and gentlemen, these statistics and the subsequent employment statistics were sobering, for they highlighted the huge discrepancy between the academic performance of sighted and blind children and the undeniable shortcomings of the educational process in this country. Now, some may claim that recent outcomes or local outcomes are better. If so, where's the data? How accurate is it, and who collects it? I am under the impression that academic performance statistics of Braille readers and large print readers are not well tracked, if at all, locally, statewide, or nationally. How many programs and states can proudly show data on subsequent employment statistics and career choices of their prior students? Without current and accurate statistics, how can parents be justifiably asked to back off and to put their full trust, their child's future, their life, in the system? Importantly, how can we affect change and measure impact if there is no mechanism for recording the current conditions and progress or lack thereof over time? One possibility is to consider an approach being used to answer important questions in medicine, a national electronic outcomes registry which could track local and regional and national outcomes in real time across a wide range of academic areas and blindness skills for informational, comparative, and accountability purposes. Such a database could even include fields for yearly justification for why a given child is not being taught Braille. The performance and accountability data could also be used to motivate state and local VI program administrators to shift their paradigms from one that is more driven by making sure that minimal legal requirements are met to one that emphasizes quality, true success, and what is in a given child's best interest. Federationists, the ultimate goal of the educational should be simple and clear. By the time a student graduates from high school, he or she should not only have met the general academic curriculum requirements, but should also have acquired all the blindness skills needed to pursue their post-high school dreams. Yeah. You would think that the norm for a child who has been receiving quality O&M training and VI services for 14 to 18 years would be that he or she would have learned the skill set and have the confidence to travel independently and live independently. Yet unfortunately, such an accomplishment is the exception rather than the rule. Too many kids turn 18 without achieving age-equivalent skills over their sighted peers, putting our youth at an immediate, avoidable disadvantage as they start college or join the workforce. Let me be blunt. In many cases, the educational system is responsible for creating functional handicaps where they need not and should not exist. The reality is that the scope of skills that blind children need to master is ballooning. Currently, each blind child's fate is to a large degree delegated to that child's IEP team. In reality, the IEP team is not a static entity, but rather the team consists of a series of transitional teams that pass the child and family onto the next level, from preschool to elementary school to middle school, then high school. Each team focuses on how to get through the few years they are, quote, responsible for before they pass the baton. There's no long-term memory for prior struggles and successes, nor vision for future beyond that particular year or two. Teams tend to focus only on the academic portion of the curriculum. Importantly, because there's no clear legal obligation, the education system is not taking responsibility for assuring that a child has all the additional blindness skills they need to function independently. Technology is undeniably leveling the playing field in the workplace. Education, too, is shifting more and more towards technology-based and web-based learning. In fact, at a conference this spring, the manager of specialized media of the California Department of Education stated that within 5 years, school textbooks for all children in California will be provided in electronic format. Early last year, I received a lot of grief when I requested supplemental e-text files for my son's 7th grade embossed textbooks because I was told that the files, which the TVI could download from the Department of Education website, were not student ready, for they were, quote, not clean enough. Yet at a national and state level, there's not appear to be a clear, proactive plan to ensure that Braille reading students will be provided across the board clean, transcriber-proofed e-text. Clean Braille and graphics aside, how prepared are school district, TVIs, and young students for this transition? How are kids in elementary and middle school going to access and process their academic materials proficiently, given that many of them don't have the right tools, the note-takers, the technology skills, the accessibility software for both school and home use, and the Braille fluency skills? Before VEA started preschool, I came to the realization that an alarming number of TVIs and O&M instructors were not proficient or particularly comfortable with basic blind technologies. Subsequent experience has only further confirmed that impression. In the 21st century, it is no longer acceptable that students in TVI and O&M teacher preparation programs be superficially taught about screen readers, Braille note takers, and GPS. This exposure level instruction in these areas, even in something as simple as slate and stylus, leaves teachers uncomfortable with these concepts, which they then incorrectly perceive as difficult and therefore difficult to teach. Such lack of true familiarity and comfort translates into a natural tendency to delay the introduction of skills under the guise that the kids are too young or not ready. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems self-evident that individuals who have chosen to make the education of our children their lifelong profession should be expected to demonstrate true proficiency in all these areas. But as we know, proficiency problems are not just limited to the technology, but to other basic skills, like slate and stylus, and to Braille itself. Too many TVIs are not proficient in Braille. Some don't have any Braille readers on their caseloads, which means that if they are sighted, their Braille skills are likely to get rusty over time, and that means that they may very well make them less likely to suggest Braille because they will have to relearn it to teach it. Unfortunately, those teachers and administrators who are the most proficient in blindness skills, the blind themselves, are underrepresented in both the academic teaching programs and local VI programs. In order for kids to reach their full potential, the bar of expectations for blind students and their teachers needs to be raised to one of performance equal to that of their peers. In California, we have taken a step towards this by being the first state to adopt formal grade level equivalent Braille math standards and Braille reading standards, which have even included instruction in Braille and Slate and Stylus. These standards have already served our family in very real and practical ways. This adoption is commendable, represents a significant leap forward, and should be modeled by all states and beyond. Having acknowledged this, the standards do not go far enough. Reading fluency standards need to be added as well. Sadly, with respect to Braille, there are still very significant perceptual barriers that exist amongst general ed and VI education professionals. While quality data regarding Braille fluency is needed, one real concern is that in studies of childhood reading fluency, might actually reflect and inappropriately validate current lower reading rates. We need published research that documents what can be achieved with early Braille immersion, appropriately high expectations, and quality training. One additional approach to consider is to create a YouTube-type menu of a variety of children and adults reading aloud, skillfully edit video snippets with clear, concise messages of individuals reading fluently and engaging in other activities, would send a very persuasive, strong, and difficult-to-refute message to educators, parents, and the public, emphasizing what is possible. In my professional life, I am an academic clinical researcher. In my search to understand the basis for the philosophical beliefs in the VI blindness field, I have been dismayed to come to the realization that there is a lack of high-quality prospective research in the area of childhood VI and O&M. Studies that have been done too often fail to differentiate the abilities of children who've been blind from birth from those who became blind at a later age, low-vision children from those who are functionally blind, from children who have fallen behind due to the delayed introduction of Braille and other blindness skills. Studies also don't adequately address the differences between age groups in childhood. Furthermore, most studies of blind children are not well designed. Study groups are too heterogeneous, often contain too few subjects, and are thus not statistically sound, for they lack adequate power to draw firm conclusions. Yet conclusions are often inappropriately overstated, if not by the study's authors, then by those who quote the studies to defend their positions. The cumulative effect is that much of what is presented as fact is to a large degree drawn from personal experience based on small, non-generalizable studies or extrapolated from adult experiences. Along these lines, another fundamental problem is that O&M training programs apply an adult rehab model to the setting of children. This is inherently flawed. Kids are not little adults. Few would argue that there are significant differences in the approach to teaching the same set of skills to adults as to toddlers, preschoolers, high schoolers, or as I now know, even middle schoolers are their own breed. This reality is not reflected in the current O&M training programs, which lack a childhood developmental approach. Specialization in childhood O&M needs to be formally developed as a field rather than the current post-graduation, learn-as-you-go, on-the-job training. Mr. Chairman, Dr. Maurer, Federationists, and guests, the challenges, both philosophical and functional, that exist in the education system in 2010 remain significant, but not insurmountable. My children's accomplishments and successes are due to a team effort, a team that extends well beyond the bounds of our home and our local school system, one that involves critical input from the NFB and others in the blind community. By attending a variety of conferences and by reading articles such as those in Future Reflections in the Braille Monitor, we began the process of learning about blindness issues. We began to meet and continue to meet and interact with other parents, educators outside our local sphere, and importantly, with members of the blind community, in particular with our extended NFB family. From there, it has been like a ripple effect. Our family has encountered many hurdles along the way, but we have developed an extensive support system, a research network of acquaintances, teachers, role models, mentors, and friends who provide us with critical perspectives and insights, and who are living examples of what is possible and what is in fact happening around the country and around the world. Through this intense learning process, we came to realize that the boundary between what is possible for a blind individual and a sighted individual is not all that much different. This has become our operational paradigm. While there are exceptions, this paradigm is unfortunately not held by far too many in the current academic blindness low vision field. To optimally educate and prepare a blind child for life, a child's team needs to involve a more direct interface with the blind community itself. There also needs to be a more direct interaction between academic training programs and the blind community. I sense that the younger generation of student professionals and teaching program graduates are curious about, and in fact are beginning to dabble in, the alternative approaches of the NFB. I say it's time to go mainstream and to step out in the academic community and educational forums, such as putting together more NFB-sponsored formal training programs at regional, state, and national educators conferences. I urge O&M professionals to be more vocal on the O&M listservs and TVIs on the TVI-oriented listservs. Also consider the possibility of formally inviting some traditionally trained student O&M and student TVI professionals in training to next year's national convention, where they can experience immersion with successful blind people from all walks of life. The experience of immersion with successful blind is sure to be a life-altering and perception-altering experience, which will surely generate some thought-provoking classroom discussions when they get back to their classes. The ripple effect may be surprising. I'm going to wrap up with the following thoughts. Behind every truly successful blind child is an involved parent. In fact, show me the parent of a young Federationist, and you'll be showing me someone who is supportive, invested, and informed. Along with many other parents, I would like to see educational professionals, TVIs and O&Ms, actively collaborate more closely and interact more frequently and meaningfully with parents in the blind community. By working together, we can synergize our efforts for the most effective impact. Federationists, I urge you to intensify efforts to access families more early on. For early exposure to the NFB philosophy represents true, meaningful, and life-altering early intervention. The impact of such an investment of time and resources will pay off many-fold. For as many of you know, today's young children are the NFB's future, the membership and leadership of tomorrow. I would like to conclude by sharing that having had the privilege to meet and interact with members of the NFB's Education Reform Task Force, I am reassured that there is, in fact, inspired vision, conviction, and hope for positive reform. Thank you.